The Skagway Library readies for its expansion project, and the Haynesboro releases reports from the heliski season. It's a KHNS local news. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Library is preparing for a busy summer before work begins in the fall on a long-awaited expansion project. The community is invited to see the final design plans for the project at a Thursday open house. Nearly 1,300 square feet will be added to the building during the expansion. It will provide for a new children's area, office space, and a large adult reading room, said librarian Julian Fairbanks.
There's going to be a larger reading area to the south, so there's actually a quiet reading study area that doesn't have people walking through it trying to get to computers.
The expansion will also allow for dedicated computer stations. Fairbanks said the library sees a huge increase in traffic during the summer months, when visitors and summer residents use the library for internet access.
What this new layout will do will, you know, accommodate that high traffic for that use and still retain these quiet reading areas for those traditional library uses.
The project will require the library to vacate its current location in September. But Fairbanks said it will still offer full library services through the Skagway School Library over the winter. The project anticipates staff will be able to move back into the renovated space in April 2013. The library was built in 1980 and last modified in 1988, Fairbanks said. The state funded half of the $1.3 million expansion project through a state matching grant for library construction. Skagway voters passed a bond for the additional funds. The Rasmussen Foundation also granted the project $100,000 and sponsored early design work and planning. The open house is Thursday from 4:30 to 6 at the Skagway Library. The Haynesboro has posted updated status reports on its website from the 2012 heliski season. The season began in mid-February for two of the three local companies that offer heliskiing guiding in the area. The season ended by April 18th. One of the companies had only one day of active guiding. The season was busy for the other two companies, but it was also marred by a March 13th avalanche that killed a client and a guide. On the site are daily activity logs for each of the companies. The borough also published any complaints or reports received from the public about heliskiing activities outside approved areas. Borough Manager Mark Ernest issued a status report in mid-March detailing public complaints up to that point. They include a February report of helicopters flying in and out of the Big Nugget Mine. But Ernest wrote in his report that through communications and interviews with the heliski operators and managers at the Porcupine Mine, it was determined helicopters had not been flying near the area. Another complaint from late March reported a helicopter flew low along the Chilkat River outside the approved operating area. The heliski company sent an email to the borough clerk the next day, reporting one of its helicopters had deviated along the water because of foggy conditions. Two complaints were filed about an April 9th incident in which residents reported seeing a helicopter drop several skiers on or near Rainbow Glacier along the Chilkat Inlet. Ernest said in his March 16th report he had not yet requested GPS data from the companies in response to any of the complaints, although he said he was planning to do so. In an April email to the borough assembly and residents who filed complaints, Ernest wrote he was conducting an investigation into all the reports, but he could not discuss further details. In February, the borough assembly voted to allow spot checks of GPS data from heliski companies for compliance issues and when the borough requests them. Ernest said he is also working with Tokchinook Watershed Council to act as an agent for receiving and reading the GPS data from the companies. The information can be found on the borough website at haynesboro.us under heliskiing info. We've also posted a link on our KHNS news page at khns.org. It's hard to think about just yet, but the Southeast Alaska State Fair is less than 3 months away, and staff at the fair already have entertainment planned and booked for the four-day event. This year, live musical entertainment will run the spectrum from reggae to rock, from hip-hop to country. Beth Bolander, fair entertainment coordinator, takes us on a listening trip through some of this year's music headliners.
Clinton Fearon, I'm really excited about him. He's a roots rock reggae artist from way back. He just got back from a European tour, and he is living in Seattle and does a lot of music there. He's originally from Jamaica and has a pretty amazing band. So I think this is going to be an amazing Friday night show. Eric McFadden Trio is going to be pretty rockin'. They're going to follow Clinton Fearon on Friday night. And he has been called a virtuoso guitar player. They're pretty serious rockers, and he's collaborated with a lot of musicians, Keb Bo and Jack Johnson, and he has some big names that a lot of people have heard of, and I think people are really going to love him. He's going to bring a rock blues flavor for Friday night. The Bill Hearn Trio, he's going to play real country music. And I think that people who like old school country are really, he's going to appeal to that crowd.
In the New Mexico rain, New Mexico rain, it's hot down in Texas.
Travelers coming back, they were here last year. I don't know how to describe them. Ethnic, they're like, he plays a lot of Lebanese music, and he has a rock band that accompanies him. He's a mad fiddle player. The Bad Tenants, this is a hip-hop group from Bellingham, Washington, that has a banjo in it, so I think this will be interesting. A hip-hop banjo group.
Just grow from the thought like a blade on the lawn.
And I'ma get all the gold that need to be got. And I'ma drop all the flows that need to be dropped. When I'm back.
Several other bands will play, including Larry and His Flask, Whiskey Dicks, and Marion Call. Portland aerial artist Pendulum will perform. The fair will also host a talent show again this year on Thursday evening and a wearable art show on Saturday afternoon. Sunday's entertainment will include the local Haynes Bell Choir, gospel singing, singer-songwriters from Juneau, and singer Kaya Hartwood from Austin. Advance tickets are on sale now at the Southeast Alaska Fair website. This is Margaret Friedenauer for KHNS News. Visit our news section online at khns.org. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, and you can reach us by emailing news@khns.org. Thanks for your support.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Locator apps for Copper River salmon. A look at the 2012 season up next.
Did you know you can now follow Alaska's fishermen, scientists, and sustainable fisheries projects on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter? Just search for Sea Alliance, one word, on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter.
See who's catching all that Alaska seafood and their favorite recipes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute at wildalaskaflavor.com. Salmon trollers in southeast Alaska fish kings all year, and the winter fishery rolled right into spring on May 1st. Other first salmon fisheries of the new season are already underway at the Stikine and Taku Rivers in southeast, and openers will occur from now on all over Alaska. To many, it's the Copper River runs that officially signal the start of the salmon season, and that fishery gets underway May 17th. Beth Poole is director of the Copper River Marketing Association.
The forecast is definitely for a strong run. Last year was a huge surprise with over 2 million sockeye harvested. This year, the forecast is equally as strong and good potential to have as great of a year as 2011.
In usual trend-setting fashion, Copper River fishermen have launched a locator app showing restaurants and retailers that are selling the famous fish. Check it out at findcopperriver.org. As a recap of what Alaska is expecting for this salmon season, state managers predict a lower catch of 132 million fish compared to 177 million last summer. That's due to an expected drop in pink salmon to 70 million, down 42%. Other projections call for just over 38 million sockeyes, a drop of 4%. Cohos are on track at 4 million, and the Alaska chum catch should top 19 million, 12% higher than in 2011. Last year's Alaska salmon catch had a dockside value of $603 million, ranking it third in the record books. Catch Fish Radio, plus links and other news on Facebook. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.